12:30 here at KPTZ in Port Townsend, and time once again for Bureaucracy Now. I've been out and got my coffee. John Morrow has ridden his rad power wagon down here, electric cargo bike,
indeed,
and is live here in the studio with us. Welcome, John.
Thank you. It's always good.
I love that you've just pulled up on your bike. You're not taking up a parking spot, and.
Great. I mean, yeah, I'm a bit of a bike enthusiast because it gets me where I need to go quickly. It's electric, so I can carry my daughter and groceries if I need to. And, you know, I have a car. There's no shame. And, you know, I'm not like a zealot here, but it sure is a lot of fun. And I can get I left City Hall about 4.5 minutes ago. And I wasn't stressed out about it.
And you arrived here about 2.5 minutes ago. So, and I wasn't stressed out about it either. I know you always get, you're not going to get stuck in a traffic
jam. It's reliable. And yes, no traffic jams indeed.
Yeah.
So goodness, there's so much to talk about, Taylor.
Well, and you know what I want to talk about is
dog policy. No. Sorry, I'm looking at Sage thinking.
Well, you know I don't want to talk about dog policy because of my unlicensed animal. He can't decide where he lives.
Yeah. Sorry, and, Sage.
Yeah, he just doesn't. But he knows where he wants to go, and that appears to be the off-leash park.
It certainly appears to be.
Yeah, he's watching it now. It's been a big week in Port Townsend, and what I wanted to mention was there was an extra city council meeting.
There was
on Monday. That was the and that extra city council meeting was to give the city council an opportunity for two readings.
Yes,
on the package of code changes that are supposed to increase our ability to make it easier to build housing units, I guess.
We're trying
to think of the summary of that.
We're trying to. I really love how Emma Bolin says this. She was on the show last week in your absence, and
right. And I know you guys took a deep dive.
Yeah, we took a deep dive, and we don't need to kind of cover the same ground again.
I don't want to do that,
but I will cover this piece of ground because it's like sacred ground and it's lovely. And she puts it like let's re-legalize middle housing because there are a lot.
That is a good way to put it.
There are a lot of units that were built here before we decided that we're gonna redline and kind of do the, you know, these people over here, those people over there, only single family and that kind of thing as a nation. Before that, we have some very sensible, dense developments here in Port Townsend that are effectively middle housing. And we want to bring that back because we need units and we have a city and we have the infrastructure and we need more opportunities for people to live within the city. So there was a big package of code amendments that went through.
Right.
Really top marks to the team who drove that real fast.
Apparently there was a lot of hard work on the part of your team, of the professional planners, of the planning commission, and of the city council.
Yeah,
and the public.
I was going to mention all of them, actually. And, of course, city council that sits in the hot seat and takes the vote on that, which they did on Monday.
But there was lots of participation on the part of members of the public, which I think we both are big fans of.
We are. Yeah. And I mean, and I guess it sounded like the tenor changed a slight bit from, I don't want to condense this into something that's like meaningless, but there was an eventual realization that a package of code changes can be both big and small. Mm-hmm. So, small in as much as we're not going to solve for capitalism or solve for affordability with one go. That's actually really hard because things are complex. But at the same time, it's actually pretty big. What was passed was probably, the more significant changes that the council has made to the code in a long, long time. And it did a number of things all at once. And it was a big lift from, like you said, the planning commission, council, the community, city staff. And actually does quite a lot of things. And so I'd say we should be celebrating that because it actually unlocks a lot of opportunity to streamline things like cottage development. It allows things like tiny houses on wheels.
Which is completely new.
We're the second jurisdiction in the state to do that only a week after the first, which is Port Angeles. There's changes to allow 2 ADUs. There's a change
in
setbacks.
That's a big deal. Elimination of parking requirements.
Elimination of parking requirements. There's some regulations around single-family attached housing with townhomes. And I mean, there's just a ton of stuff.
So without going through the whole list, does the city have a list or could there be a list
yes.
for those of us who don't want to read 67 pages of line in, line
outs? Well, yes and yes, although now I think the second packet was 430-something pages long.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty big. So two answers to that question, but let me just pause right. that for a second, go back to
pause that.
What I was trying to say was, look, this is big and small. You know, it's a step forward among many we need to take. But I think, as rightfully some members of the community have done, I mean, claim victory on this one. You know, this is a big move, a lot of effort, and actually it sets the table for, you know, I think, the, for instance, there were providers and actually builders in the audience that actually spoke up on this Monday saying this actually helps us. It helps us build houses. It helps us, you know, do more. And now it's almost like your move to those who needed these to be more successful to build houses in our community. Of course, we're going to be squirreling away doing a lot of other work, but in the meanwhile, it's iterative. You know, the city's done a big lift.
Right.
Now
we,
the community
take,
developers
have taken a step.
Yeah,
now they can take
stand
steps.
Up and, yep. And kind of come to the table, take advantage of the streamlined codes, new opportunities, creative opportunities, and of course, we'll be working on the next piece soon. So, but to your point, where do you find this information? We actually have a project website that's been active since the start of this project. If you go, it's a little bit squirrely to get to, but if you go to cityofpt.us/engage, it takes you to our engagement site. And there's a housing on the left side of the navigation bar. There's a housing button you can click on. And then probably in the top two or three of the list of housing things. So there's, you know, our allocation of funding to affordable. I mean, we literally subsidize affordable housing with local authority tax funding. We're doing Evans Vista. We're, you know, there's a ton of projects under housing. There's a clickable link about tactful
tactical infill. There you go.
And that wasn't very tactful of me. So that actually has a little bit of a treasure trove of information and packets. It needs to be updated. So we will get an updated site there so that people can see what happened. To be honest, since the you can also find it in the council packet. So there's a PowerPoint presentation.
Ah, okay.
You know, you can go to the to the city council site and you can see the agenda in the minutes. What happened. And I could say it's a small list. So I could say there's a few things that changed at city council this week to that package. And I think I count four.
That were changed on the fly.
Yeah.
At the.
And we don't need to go into a deep dive, but there were some sensible changes that were made there. Eliminating things like porch requirements, changing hookup to utilities, some things that were, you know, maybe even, I think one of them was changing the lot coverage for R2 from 40% to 45% with a second ADU. So, you know, a few minor tweaks, but all that stuff you will be able to find eventually on that project site.
Okay.
But big win, actually.
Thank
huge,
you.
Huge win for the community and a step in the right direction.
We have next steps coming, right? This is the so-called April 2nd thing. Does it happen on April 2nd, John?
No, actually, even this, one of the changes that was made was that these don't go into effect until July 1st because we actually want to make sure we're ready. You know, there's some details to work out on things like, you know, the tiny houses on wheels. We don't want to just throw up these changes and then suddenly be on the back foot having to implement them and, you know, having a hard time supporting the community who wants to take advantage of these sensible changes. So there's a little bit of a time lag. Meanwhile, we are so close to naming the person who will be our long-range planner.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Which is really exciting.
And the reason that that's important is because this is in the next steps that have been discussed as part of the April 2nd initiative.
Yeah.
This is in this person's purview.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
They will arrive on site and be given the list.
They will be, and they'll be working with, you know, a lot of other folks. But I think, you know, in a way, this was sketched out as part of our strategy for housing, you know, as back as July when we did this with council at our work plan workshop. And I believe it was Emma Bolin who showed a kind of a roadmap for housing, which came out of that retreat. And it really is kind of a point by point, you know, what are we doing right now? What are we doing this year? What are we doing over the next couple years? And there's a big category of work that says, you know, long-range planning. And one of the keys to that is a long-range planner. And so allegedly, this individual starts in about a week and a half. And
congratulations.
We couldn't be more thrilled.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not all on, you know, this individual's shoulders. It's just we need capacity.
You need somebody to sort of to own the responsibility then pull the pieces together.
That's right. That's right. Okay. As we work on a range of other things dealing with housing. So
that's when we're going to start to look at some of the other items that the public was interested in. It's just because we passed this package doesn't mean that we're done talking about housing.
Oh, no.
We're just starting to talk
about
housing.
We're just getting warmed up.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've
good to know.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, you could take different perspectives on this. You know, we've done work on housing for a long time. One can say this is not enough. They'd be right. One can say this is a big step. And that's also true. So I think, you know, if we really care about this and it truly is one of the very top priorities for our community, we gotta give it a lot of attention. And so it'll come back to Planning Commission, it'll come back to City Council. We'll be working projects, initiatives, collaborations, code changes. There's a whole strategic package of this stuff that hangs together for multiple years, and that's how we make progress.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's all the further down the housing rabbit hole we need to go today, because I know, you know, you went deep down it last week.
We did.
And I did promise you some questions. We've taken the first 10 minutes here and discussed that. So thank you.
You bet. Yeah, roll the tape last week. Mayor Faber and Emma spoke quite eloquently about this. And
that is on the website.
It's on the website.
Yeah. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Bureaucracy Now on KPTZ. I'm Taylor Clark, and I'm talking to Port Townsend City Manager and avid cyclist John Morrow. And we've just finished discussing housing. Other things happened in Port Townsend this week.
Well, yeah, a lot of other things. On Tuesday, so we had City Council Monday night. Tuesday night, we had our first in-person community read since the pandemic with the author, Monique Gray Smith, who was here to talk about breeding sweetgrass adapted for young adults. And it was awesome. You know, it was great to see a turnout.
I was not able to attend, but you were there.
I was there, yeah. And it was great to see Melody Weaver, the library director. You know, it was amazing to see the Port Gamble Sklallam start off the evening with some drumming and singing. And then, of course, the author in person from across the way over in Victoria coming across the strait and, you know, kind of reading a bit from the book and talking a little bit about what it is to be in place. And again, I'm sure avid listeners here on KPTZ heard her interviewed and be on the show.
We interviewed her on Bureaucracy Now. We interviewed on Book Lovers Cafe. Yeah. I'd had a chance to see her on Zoom. I didn't have it turned around to you. But
yeah. Good to see her in person.
I would imagine that she was wonderful in person. Yeah. And I regret not being there. But that's what happens when you're priced out of the Port Townsend housing market.
Oh, man. It's brutal. So that happened this week. You know, I think it's probably worth at least giving people a sense of where we are on both golf course and pool, because we've had a lot of engagement on both of those with the general public, and we're certainly not done. On the pool, I should say, we've got a survey that closes tomorrow, and we want to hear from everybody. So if you've got any time, 5 minutes is probably the kind of average we'd imagine you'd spend with it. You can go on our website and you can click, I think, on our homepage at cityofpt.us. On the right side, you'll see a kind of a graphic that maybe looks like somebody swimming. You can click on that, and at
it says healthier together. Together. It's on the right side of the homepage.
It's on the right side of the homepage, and then you click on that, and then suddenly you'll see a link at the top that says take 5 minutes to fill out our survey.
Survey here. Please take 5 minutes to fill.
Your input is invaluable. If you want to keep reading, I haven't read it.
I think we would have a hard time having a conversation while I was filling out, clicking on the survey.
That's true. That's true. We'll wait. We'll do that after the show. You can walk through that survey. But look, we're going to take input until tomorrow at 5 p.m. It's been open for a few weeks.
Is this a city resident only? No. We're interested in county input here, too.
We are. I mean, the county is an absolutely invaluable partner alongside the port, the school district, the hospital, the Jefferson Aquatic Center, you know, the YMCA. I mean, it's really a everybody lift exercise. And I mean, to that point you just made, you know, this gets broadcast to Chimicums and so there are a lot of Jefferson County. So I think it's worth saying we're doing an open house in Chimicum on Tuesday, April 18th, because this is a regional initiative, because it actually serves, it could serve far beyond the boundaries of the city. So please, if you are listening and you are anywhere in Jefferson County, you can show up in Chimicum Tuesday evening and we'll have an open house much like we did here in Port Townsend this month.
Tuesday.
I admit that I'm bummed I can't be there. And I happen to be doing this. I'm a bike enthusiast, but I have this other weird way of spending my time at 5 a.m. And that is sometimes I go for a run. And hey, so I'm running the Boston Marathon the day before. So
I heard that. Heard that. Is Tuesday April? What?
It's the 18th. So I'll be flying back that day because the race is the day before.
I got lost on the day. Oh, I see. Tuesday, April 18th. Okay.
You can find more info on that on our website.
So, good luck in the Boston Marathon, man.
Gonna need it. No, it'll be fun. It'll be
Have you run a marathon before?
Just one. Yeah.
Okay.
Just one. And maybe it'll be my last. But I feel like I run a marathon every day, Taylor.
Okay.
For those interested in the pool, you know, there's a lot that's happened since the open house we did middle of this week. So you know, stay in touch on that. Golf course, boy, we had an amazing open house early January, I think it was, I think it was the 11th. Lots happened since then. We had a virtual open house. We've had two stakeholder meetings, actually, I think three stakeholder meetings. And so to give people a sense of what's next there, there's another open house scheduled in May. So we'll have that, I believe it's May 1st, and it's the second open house. And then there'll be more stakeholder meetings. The stakeholder group is still continuing to meet and evaluate and talk through the issues. So we've kind of got this syncopated, we'll talk about the pool and do an open house and kind of engage in that process.
And that's the Chimicum one, right?
Yep. And okay. Then the next month we'll do an open house around the golf course and keep advancing that. And they kind of both come to some degree of decision-making kind of right around the summertime. So stay tuned and please get involved.
We got a question here on the email, awesome. And it's a good time to remind people that if you have a question for John, or me, I suppose, but mostly for John, who actually has answers.
I could pitch it to you.
DJ@kptz.org. My friend Scott asks, he says, if John knows that today is the 100th anniversary of Port Townsend being connected to a permanent generated electricity.
That's awesome.
Isn't that interesting? And I think particularly interesting considering that one of the changes you mentioned that City Council made had to do with, was it for tiny houses, about being hooked up to an electrical grid?
Yeah.
If they allowed an alternative for solar?
Yeah, it wasn't explicitly called out, but as per state and city code requirements, and those things can change. So we didn't want to tie ourselves. I think the intent of council was to not tie ourselves to something that would prohibit connecting to or not connecting to the grid. But we, you know, there's some fine print on that, but I think it made it more broadly applicable and kept some ideas alive around self-sufficient energy generation.
I think it's interesting here, if it's the 100th anniversary, we used to have a permanent, you know, we had some kind of generator apparently, and now we have an electrical grid.
Now, I want to know, I probably know what Scott this is. He's interested in electricity. He's listening to the show. I want to ask Scott if he was alive at that time 100 years ago. Is that can't possibly be true. Scott, I hope you're laughing.
I know for a fact he's not, but
no, he's a pretty feisty, healthy individual who I believe rides a bike pretty often.
He's also a serious cyclist believes that that's important and an important part of the community.
Yes, indeed. Well, I didn't know that. I appreciate that information. That's helpful to know. And it's kind of around the same era as turning on the water line back in the 27-28 era.
Right. We really started to establish our city utilities that we collectively use to make living easier and
that's right.
more convenient for all of us. Okay.
Maybe it's a call out there. I don't want to give too much away, but you know, I always love giving KPTZ the scoop. If you go through the details of the state house budget proposal,
oh yeah,
you'll see a couple things that has Port Townsend listed on it in the bill, which we're pretty excited about. You know, one is some capital improvements to our library, which are needed. And the other is we're really trying to advance the Olympic Discovery Trail. And, you know, and the county's been doing great work on that, the whole region, really. Mm-hmm. But we're looking to continue pushing that forward.
There's missing pieces
there
still,
are,
right?
Yeah, missing yeah. pieces, and there's, you know, need for land acquisition. There's need for, you know, the development of the trail and planning. So at this point, we have a provisional bit of money in there from the House budget. So let's hope that stays in. We'll keep on tracking that and helping to advocate for funding. Right now, I think it's $750,000 in that capital budget, which is not a lot, frankly, but in a tight budget year for the state, it's a good foothold.
Good. I don't know where to go with that next. Besides, fingers crossed.
Yeah,
because you
crossed.
Said it's tentative. It's in the budget.
It's in the House budget proposal. Budget. They have to kind of work it out with the Senate, and of course, the governor signs and all that. But it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the main point here is both from state and federal funding sources. We want to be at the ready and be really ambitious about how we. I mean, we're such a small community in the large scheme of things. We can't be fully self-sufficient in how we fund our needs. You know, we've got, for instance, that 28-29 mile, water pipeline. And we've got, you know, a huge amount of roads and infrastructure and pipes, probably more than most cities our size because we're spread out and we have a lot of road miles and a lot of pipe miles.
And we have a lot of old roads.
We have a lot of old roads. Yeah. We have, you know, we just have a lot of infrastructure needs and funding needs. And I'm really proud of my team for being consistently at the state and at the federal levels, you know, looking for those opportunities. That's how we funded Discovery Road. It's a $6 million project, and you know, very little is coming from Port Townsend.
Evans Vista.
It's another $6 million project.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's almost no city funding at this point from the city coffers. It's, you know, $2.5 million from the feds, you know, $3 million from the state, $500,000 from the county. So we're trying to be scrappy about it. It saves everybody more money. And you know, we don't have infinite resources, and we also don't have infinite patience from ratepayers and taxpayers saying, keep on, you know, increasing.
Keep on taxing us. Yeah, we're willing to.
Yeah, we want to balance our needs with our ability to pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else is on your radar? Do you have a...
You're
looking at your paper.
There's so much going on. I mean, one thing, somebody asked me, well, I'll just say, I had a really great meeting with PT Main Street yesterday, really great collaborative, active space building, you know, partner to the city. And they wanted to kind of touch base around the Hood Canal Bridge closure.
Oh yeah, kind of a big deal, right?
It's a very big deal. And you know, I'm not trying to poke at the state because you know that needs to be
done. They got
to
do it.
It's good for us that they maintain the bridge because we don't want it to catastrophically fail. That would be terrible.
Well, that would never happen.
But funny. But I think
for those who have not been in Port Townsend for a long time, the bridge did catastrophically sink. I don't know, 25 years ago. When was it?
It was
a while ago.
Yeah, well, one of the things I wanted to be clear, because I think the county has been showing exceptional leadership here, being out in front on it. And it was probably, we didn't really trumpet this, but, you know, city council sent a letter, requesting things like mitigation money, requesting kind of a less of a heavy impact on the workforce, maybe would happen if we spread it out over August and we just did weekends. So there's a number of things that, you know, city council asked for. But then recently, just to make sure that people understand, the city of PT is really trying to be engaged in this in a collaborative manner with our partners. I had a really wonderful conversation with the city managers in Squim and PA.
Because it affects them too.
Yep. And also with a commissioner in Clallam and a commissioner here in Jefferson, our commissioner Kate Dean, who's been leading this. And the five of us pretty much agreed on one major point and also sent a letter to the state saying, look, what's good for Clallam isn't always good for Jefferson and all that, because we've got different needs and different scales and different geographies. Mm-hmm. But one thing we vociferously agree on is, if you can't tell us the date in the next few days, meaning by the end of this month, you kind of can't do it this year because people are planning weddings. We're planning thing. You know, there's just so much going on, and with limited time to plan for alternatives, if we're actually closed, the bridge is closed in August, certain weekends, it's going to cripple us. It'll be devastating. So we wanted to send a strong, unified message from the entire peninsula, from at least from Jefferson and Clallam, that, you know what, times, you know, if we don't have a date, time to pitch it to next year.
So are they don't currently have a date, or they have sort of tentative dates?
They had tentative dates. They've shifted. I think there's been strong engagement from WashDOT. I give them top marks for, you know, getting engaged and talking with members of the public and our jurisdictions. But we don't have a finalized date yet. And that's a big problem for us.
Okay. Hear anything from the ferry guys about another ferry? You have periodic conversations with them too, right?
Yeah. We sit on the ferry advisory committee. We're tracking that. I mean, it's funny, these are conflated because there's the second boat issue, which is probably not likely to come until 2024.
Yeah. Okay.
And actually there's probably an issue related to the bridge where depending on the type of closure.
They're talking about maybe running a boat from Edmonds up, right?
Yeah. That's I don't know if it's on the table, but it's something we've discussed.
Okay.
So yeah, we need to advocate for our town on these issues because otherwise, I can't think of a worse way to, I hate to put it crassly, but to screw poor Townsend is like, let's just shut the Hood Canal Bridge in August. Good luck being a restaurant or a retailer or running an event that happens in August. It's going to be devastating.
Yeah. And then suddenly the boat, which would be crowded anyway, that would be another way to handle it rather than a boat from Edmonds would be at least a second boat in that period. Yeah. You know, hey, just for those weekends, add a second boat.
We shall see. We're waiting with bated breath and hopes for a sensible compromise here. And again, we're not against this work. It's so important that the maintenance is done. I mean, it's our infrastructure. It needs to be there for us forever. But there's got to be a better way than closing down on four weekends in August.
Okay. Keep working that issue because I'm not sure what the solution is, but I like the stakeholders that are looking at the problem.
Yes, and
that'll be good. Okay, you have been listening to Bureaucracy Now! Here on KPTZ. I'm Taylor Clark. I've been talking to John Morrow, and we will have the transcript. We have the recording up on our website later this afternoon. We're going to go out today. You know, I used to close every show with this with one of these two artists. This is a fellow named Sol Hoopii. He's Hawaiian. He's the master of the Hawaiian guitar. And it's really interesting. This has to do with slack key. This is where they lay the guitar down in their lap and they played it with a slide. This is from the 20s. And this one is called Patches.